So we're reading in Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. And I want to read down to verse 10. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviour as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Saviour in all things. Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. Our thoughts this evening, I think, naturally divide into three sections. It's not evening for everyone, so forgive me when I make those assumptions. But they divide naturally into three sections. And it's just these 10 verses of Titus chapter 2. But I want to think about the three sections as being verse 1, verses 2 to 9, and verse 10. And I think that these divisions helpfully testify to the transforming power of the gospel and its life-changing effect in a regenerated believer's experience. So the headings that I've got are number one for verse one, sound doctrine, the gospel of God's grace. Number two, which is verses 2 to 9, transforming grace, the effect of the Holy Spirit in the new birth. And thirdly, verse 10, or point three, adorning the gospel, proof of the Lord Jesus Christ in the lives of his people. So those are the three sections that I just want to briefly touch upon this evening. Today, I've done it again. So the first one is sound doctrine, the gospel of God's grace. When the Apostle Paul left Titus in Crete to set in order the things that were wanting, the Apostle didn't equip the young man with a university degree in church administration or a dedicated staff of enforcers or a battery of resources to be deployed in order to achieve the desired end of putting in order the things that were wanting. Titus had only one thing at his disposal, one thing that the apostle left with him to do the work that needed to be done. Titus was to preach the gospel of God's grace in Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul means when he says in verse 1, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. It's the gospel that he's talking about. The gospel is sound doctrine because the gospel is pure and strong and good and reliable and secure. That's what makes it sound. It's pure because it is God's gospel. It originates in the councils of heaven, and it engenders purity in the lives of those that it enters. It's strong because it achieves the end purpose for which it is sent. It doesn't fail. It is the power of God unto salvation. It's good because it deals with good things. It deals with the good news of salvation, forgiveness, redemption, righteousness, justification, sanctification, and glorification as no other message can or does. It's reliable because it can be depended upon by all who lean upon it. It won't give way like a broken stick. It won't prove to be rotten or weak like a worm-infested floorboard. It will be reliable. It will hold us up. That's a good reference as well to think about what we've just said about those times in our lives when we are in trials, we are under temptation, we are facing the big challenges in life. What will see us through? But the love of God and the reliability of the gospel that we have learned. And it's secure because it keeps us safe and it protects all those who trust in God according to its message and direction. So this gospel is the sound doctrine. It's the doctrine of God. That's what Paul calls it in verse 10. We read that a few moments ago. It's the sound doctrine of God. It originates with God. It informs us about God. It deals with and reveals to us such truths as are bound up in the covenant of grace and peace. Regarding such things as God's eternal love for his people, the effectual redemption of the elect by the blood of Jesus Christ, the vicarious substitutionary sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross and what it achieved, imputed righteousness, not righteousness that comes from the law, not righteousness that comes from our works, but the imputed righteousness of God, freely given. Regeneration by the Holy Spirit, creation of a new nature, the indwelling of the Spirit, the certainty of heavenly glory. These are the things that the doctrine of God reveal to men and women like you and me. And that is what makes the gospel sound doctrine. So that when Paul says, "Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine," that is what he means. And this was all the means that were left with Titus to effect the work that he had left him to do. And that takes us to our second point, because this gospel brings transforming grace. The effect of the Holy Spirit in the new birth is to transform men and women from that old way of life to a new way of life. We use the word conversion, and sometimes we use these words without entirely thinking about what they mean. But it's a transformation, this conversion. And it was all that was necessary. I've said that was all that was left with Titus, and it was all that was necessary. And I think it's good for us to realize this. Paul is not suggesting that Titus is to preach good works to these people. The good works that are the content of verses 2 to 9. It's not preaching works that is sound doctrine. Rather, what Paul is doing is he is showing that the sound doctrine leads to the conversion, the transformation, and the renovation of the hearts of sinners, and brings new motivations, new aspirations, and new desires into the lives of the Lord's people. Sound doctrine is transforming grace in the souls of the elect of God. It creates saving faith, it brings new life, new values, new morals. So that when the Holy Spirit indwells a believer and the Lord Jesus Christ reigns in a believer's heart and the love of God initiates our loving response because we love him who first loved us, we see the evidence of that in our lives. Sobriety, gravity, temperance in aged men whose attitudes are moderated from being grumpy old men to being charitable and patient. Aged women, they look for opportunities to be good patterns, especially to younger women, in those matters best suited to their experience and example. Young women, likewise, under the sound of the gospel and taught in sound doctrine, will exercise discretion. They will restrain themselves in speech, in dress, in conduct. They will live in a chaste manner, respecting their responsibilities, honouring their promises, acknowledging their duties to their husband, their family, their home. Young men, likewise, discreet, chaste, industrious, good, loving and respectful to their own wives, wise, patient and exemplary to their children. Even servants and employees exhibit such qualities as obedience, honesty, faithfulness to their masters or their employers, as becomes their position and role. So that the sound doctrine, as the gospel, makes these changes in the transformed, converted lives of the believers. These are not bald rules to be imposed law-like upon an unwilling audience, but they're principles of conduct inspired by Christ in you. Christ in you, flowing from a knowledge of righteousness imputed and fueled by God's righteousness imparted in grace. It's the practical outworking of spiritual gifts, graces, and fruit. So that Paul can tell the Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, says Paul, let us also walk in the Spirit. You see, the walking comes from us having that spiritual life. And I think, just as a brief aside as well, it's interesting in this little passage, Titus 2, 1 to 10, to see the way in which the various groups, the older men and women and the younger men and women and the children and the masters and the servants, they're all gathered together under this sound doctrine. They're all gathered together as one group, one body, the church, grouped together under the gospel principles by which this mutual care and support is both supplied and received. And that's the true nature of the Church of Jesus Christ. We may be very different in many different ways, in many different places, but in Christ we are all one body, one people and one family. And then that brings us to the last little verse that is in this passage here. And I just wanted to mention this, and then we'll be done. But the adorning of the gospel is what the apostle is talking about here in this verse, verse 10. And it is the proof of the Lord Jesus Christ living in the lives of his people. The overriding principle here is that these qualities and attributes of godly living and Christ-likeness are not imposed from the outside upon our conduct, but generated from the inside, from a true heart, a pure heart, and in singleness of heart. From a spirit transformed by grace that desires to be like our Maker and our Redeemer. Not the fallen corruption of the unregenerated nature, but the new creation and the Holy Spirit living in us. And that's what Paul calls adorning the doctrine of God our Saviour in all things. And what a lovely phrase that is. I'm going to repeat it again because it deserves repetition. Adorning the doctrine of God our Saviour in all things. Paul's been talking about sound doctrine. Titus, preach sound doctrine. Why? Because that sound doctrine will transform the lives of sinful men and women. And they will adorn the doctrine of God, our Saviour, in all things. What a beautiful message that is. And what amazing motivation for us all. It's a glorious aspiration. Let's just take that for a moment. What if we could get up in the morning and that be our prayer? Lord, let me this day, in all that I do and in all that I say, adorn the doctrine of God our Saviour in all things. What an amazing motivator that ought to be. And such conduct will be noticed. It will, at the very least, deny gainsayers and opponents of the gospel the opportunity or the occasion to speak ill of the gospel and blaspheme the word of God. It will shame those that speak evil of us. Now, that's not to say that they're not going to speak evil of us or that they're not going to speak against the church and the gospel that we proclaim. Of course, the world will continue to find ways to oppose and condemn the church at every turn. But by living to the honour of God, we will have removed from the world any and all legitimate grounds of attack and force them to employ groundless, shameful and self-condemning arguments. That's the argument that the Apostle Paul is making here. The gospel in the heart of a believer adorns the doctrine of God by making us jewels in his crown. What a high calling that is for you and for me. What an honourable calling it is. So may we all seek, by a knowledge of the gospel and all that Christ has accomplished for us, to honour and serve him as ornaments of his grace. Amen. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us.